Lights. Camera. Action. It's the KSL Movie Show.
What do we really sell? Some dreams.
And imagination. And sparkle.
The week's big movie review. Movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
This guy's a lunatic. A psycho. He will eat you for breakfast. He won't even notice it, probably.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Yo, or that clip we just heard perfectly describes Monkey Man, which we'll talk about on today's show. Lunatic, a psycho. It's got some lunatic psycho stuff going on.
I love Dev Patel.
Dev Patel is fine, but you're going to have a high tolerance for some blood and punching.
Oh, The Raid. Did you ever see that movie, The Raid?
I did not.
Raid and Raid 2. Wow.
Oh, there was a Raid 2.
Oh, yeah. They destroyed a kitchen like you wouldn't believe. It was pretty
cool.
Wow.
My first thought is bug spray when I think of Raid, but no. Obviously not. But we've got a lot more than that. In fact, our big movie of this week, we were talking, Steve. We have three big movies. We just figured this week, let's start off on the best foot forward, the one that I thought had the best message. And because, you know, I like good messages and, you know, we get to make that decision. We're going to lead off with a movie called Someone Like You. Because the big movie review is sponsored by Paris RV. Paris RV has over 1,200 RVs in stock and ready for your outdoor adventures. They're sure to have the RV you're looking for, so check them out at any of their four locations or at parisrv.com. Someone Like You is our
London
our big
was an in vitro baby.
The procedure gave us two embryos.
So in London might have a sibling?
Hi.
Can we talk?
This is incredible. Were you in love with her?
You can't bring her back.
So this is a movie about, it's based on the New York Times best-selling book, and in it a guy, an architect in his late 20s. By the way, an architect in his late 20s that has a lakeside house in Alabama.
Wow, that must be good.
That's what I was going to say. Any rate, he's grieving the car crash death of his lifelong love when he finds out she was an in vitro baby and that her parents never told her before she died. And that she also has a biological sister out there somewhere because her parents had donated the other embryo from that round of IVF. So he tracks that sister down and then invites her to come and meet the family she never knew
Wait,
she
had.
Did
you say Alabama at the beginning?
Yes. And he goes to Tennessee, which is where the sister is located.
Okay, because Alabama is not too fond of the IVF thing, right?
Well, and the parents are like... Oh, no, the other girl's parents are doctors up in Tennessee. But anyway, so that's the basic premise. But the real premise is the people dealing with grief, they can't let the one girl go. And it's more the boyfriend than it is the parents. The parents are like, look, it was basically a transaction, you know. The first pregnancy was so hard on the mother, and the mother is suffering from kidney failure. The girl who died's mother.
Okay.
In fact, the daughter was going to be the kidney donor for the transplant before she got hit by the car and died.
Yikes.
So you can kind of see where this
sounds
is going.
Like a Nick Cage.
Well,
Nick,
you know what? I forgot to look
Nicholas
up who the
Sparks.
Author was. It's kind of that vein. But what's really good about this is, because I really liked this overall, and there was a scene at the end as a parent that I really connected to. And that was just that, you know, at some point the parents of both the girls meet. And, you know, the sister, her name's Andy, which, you know, I always like that because, you know, tastefully named.
With an
I. Yeah, Andy with an I. She's living up in Tennessee. She's got a fiance. And then she meets the architect. And she doesn't know that she was an in vitro baby either.
Oh, dear.
And so she finds out and immediately is mad at her parents and runs off. That was where it lost me for a little bit. I just thought it was a little too much of an overreaction on her part. I was puzzled by how quickly and how completely she was willing to just like run away from her whole entire family. Now, keep in mind her mother, her birth mother, the one that she actually carried her to term inside, birthed her, and has raised her all the way up to age 24. But
wow.
Because she found out she wasn't their genetic child,
oh, I see.
She just runs off to Alabama. And that was the only part where I felt like that seems a bit extreme to me. And maybe that's because I'm a dad and that would be, you know, that would devastate me as the dad to have my daughter run off
well,
just because she found out they weren't genetic related.
Usually it's the other way around. They realize that even though I'm not the genetic product, That's my real mom.
Right. And eventually she does get to that. But a whole lot of stuff happens first. So that to me was the only, ironically, the main character was the hardest one to like for a long stretch of the movie, which is not a good sign. But it really got me back at the end when the parents meet and the two, you know, the two moms meet each other. Like, that squeezed tears right out of me. Just this thought of, like, you know, the one couple couldn't have a baby and they're like so grateful that you gave us this embryo.
Yeah.
And the other couple is like, it pains us that we couldn't do this ourselves, but, you know, thank you so much. And now we have basically these two families that are linked together through this girl. And that's what, to me, made this, what I liked about it the most. I gave this a B minus. It was, you know, that it may sound like the grade's not high enough to match, but there were enough issues that it wasn't like a perfect movie, but it really emotionally hooked me and I really liked it.
Cool.
And it, you know, it makes you consider what makes someone your child. And that's really well done. And so, there's some faith-based elements that I also liked in it. So that's Someone Like You. It's rated PG-13. And it actually opened on Tuesday because it's kind of an independently financed movie. It's not Angel Studios, but it's kind of that same style.
Okay.
So that is Someone Like You. Now, we've got a lot more to talk about, including we will talk about the horror movies. I promise. I saw them both. So we've still got on the movie show coming up. We're going to talk about The First Omen. We've got one that I can't wait to get your thoughts on, Steve, Wicked Little Letters, which, by the way, your review is already up on KSLNewsRadio.com Wicked Little Letters. We'll talk about the Dev Patel movie Monkey Man. We've got
Girl State was a really good film.
That might be my pick of the week, to be honest. And that's on streaming, so you know, this is a movie theater show. So
yeah, I know.
But otherwise, Girl State was really, really well done, plus a bunch of other stuff. We got a lot to talk about on the movie show today, not the least of which includes hearing your texts at 57500 about the most confusing movie you've ever seen. And we've already got votes for several Christopher Nolan works that we'll talk about.
That does seem to be his forte.
Is there a more confusing filmmaker than Christopher Nolan?
No.
Apparently not.
The Movie Show.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
On KSL News Radio.
Steve, a lot of texts coming in about the most confusing movie they've ever seen. 57500 is the number to send. Here's the most recent one. His most confusing movie is Inception, but also I had to watch Dunkirk a few times before I figured out what was going on in that movie. Loved it, though. And that's the thing. You can love a movie that left you completely confused.
Oh, yeah. There's a movie called Limbo, and it's going along, and they're flying in an airplane, and it's about to run out of gas, and the movie stops. And you're like, I'm sorry, what? It's a John Sayles movie probably 25 years ago, but like it just ended. Like, what?
Here's a text.
Eraserhead. Eraserhead,
nobody
yes.
makes a more confusing movie than David Lynch, says this texter.
You know, his Lost Highway was one of mine. I was like, I have no idea what's going on here.
Here's a vote for Inception. Awesome movie, and you really need to pay attention to understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that ending leaves you it's very ambiguous and intentionally so.
I bet no one has seen this movie, Bo is Afraid,
with
Joaquin Phoenix. I had no idea what was going on.
Here's a vote. We were talking off the air, and then a texter came in, because I was like, what was that movie last year that we were really confused by?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Leave the World Behind.
Oh, yes.
With Julia Roberts.
And Mahershala Ali, yeah.
Great acting, weird movie, and according to this texture, bad ending, and I agree with them on that.
But the deer were everything.
A lot of votes coming in. We'll keep reading your texts as the show goes on. But, Steve, let's review another movie, another one of the big three this week. And this one's The First Omen.
There's this girl at the orphanage. I think that she really needs someone to look out for her.
Carlita suffers from a touch of madness.
Bad things will start to happen around her. Evil things.
It's all... You know, don't...
Evil Tings. So this film is the one with the biggest name, a horror movie called The First Omen, and I had to explain this to people several times. What did you see? I saw The First Omen. And then they'd stare at me. And it took me the first time I was like, I don't know why they're looking at me so confused. But they thought I was seeing The First Omen movie from 1976. Why are you watching that? This is a prequel to The Omen.
Right.
And it is called The First Omen.
Correct.
There we go. So, anyway, A soon-to-be nun, whose name is Margaret, she moves to Rome from America in the early 1970s, and she starts working at a convent that cares for orphaned girls. But...
so far, this sounds like Immaculate.
There's a lot of similarities to Immaculate, although that wasn't set in the 70s, was it?
No.
Okay. And this, it's important that it takes place in the 70s. There's a lot of unrest going on in the world, and especially in Rome, where there's protests every day. There's like a labor thing going on that probably happened, but I wasn't born yet in the early 1970s. So I didn't come in until the mid-70s. But anyway, so this convent, though, and she takes a particular liking to a girl that's kind of really weirdly withdrawn. But this is where some of the horror starts coming in. Now, and I think that the 1970s setting actually kind of helps enhance the horror of it all. Because poor electricity, old buildings, all those things kind of help set the ambiance. When you get locked in a room in a convent in 1973... ain't no telephone, no cell phone. You're locked in that room till somebody lets you out. So it does a really good job of setting sort of those terror scenes. But anyway, Margaret, she encounters a darkness that makes her start to question reality. And there's some things in her past that she's kind of dealing with. But then she also discovers a conspiracy that kind of hopes to bring about the birth of evil incarnate. And I don't want to give away too much story for people who haven't seen it. I will say this, if you haven't seen any of the past movies in the Omen series, you'll actually still be able to watch this one without feeling lost because it's a prequel. And even though it sets up all the narratives that happen in the Omen movies that follow, this, I thought, still had its own kind of unique, good story. And I did some research because I hadn't seen the Omen. And I read up, you know, plot summary and different things. By the way, Richard Donner directed the original Omen movie.
Wow.
This was the movie that got him Superman a couple of years later.
I did not remember
Gregory
that.
Gregory Peck was in the original.
Yeah, I do remember that.
That was wild for me to find out. This doesn't have anything, but the
Nell Tiger Free is the lead in this. She was also in M. Night Shyamalan's Servant. I think it was a series that was on not too long ago.
Yeah, well, she definitely is all in on the movie, and I thought she looked a lot like Alexandra Daddario. But basically, I got to warn you, it's plenty of darkness, evil, and bloody grossness. I give it a C+, which, let's be honest, for me who hates horror movies...
yeah, that's pretty good.
That's pretty close to like a B+ or an A- probably for somebody who likes horror movies.
Now, I wasn't able to go that night, but I did look up a couple of things that some people that I trust, and they said... it had a really amazing sense of dread that kind of carried through the movie. Only a couple of jump scares, but it had a $30 million budget, which is kind of unusual for a horror movie. You know, Bill Nye's in this film.
Yep.
So it was better than they expected it would be. They said of the Omen movies, the original and this one are probably the two best.
Well, that's good to hear. And not having seen the others, that I at least got to see one of the better ones in the series. But it does set the table, and the movie ends basically where the original Omen 1976 begins. So
we do meet Damien?
Well, you do see the baby Damien, yes.
Okay, all right.
Because he's a baby.
I see.
I guess it's not exactly where it begins, but it's where the story that the first Omen begins because...
well, as soon as they say Damien, you know we're...
well, yes, yeah. And that's...
I don't think any kid got called Damien after that movie came out, except for the redheaded guy from he's a Damien.
That's possible. I after that, anyone who's named Damien, you give him a funny look. It's true.
Yeah.
So that is the first Omen. I give it a C+. It is rated R.
The Movie Show.
You probably think this world is a dream come true, but you're wrong.
On KSL News Radio.
So you're yeah. Steve, we've got a lot of movies to get through on today's show. Believe it or not, on a week where there wasn't a huge movie, there certainly was a deluge of things to talk about. So we've got a stacked movie show today. So let's get right to it, and let's talk about Wicked Little Letters.
Rose Gooding, you are writing these wicked little letters to Edith Swan.
Why would I send a letter when I can just say it?
Love, love, love this movie. Jesse Buckley, Olivia Colman, Timothy Spall. I mean, it's British up to, you know. But, and here's the thing, when you hear British people cuss, it sounds so much more sophisticated, doesn't it?
Well, sure. That's why they do everything more
anyway,
sophisticated.
So, there is language in this movie. I mean, it's blistering.
So much.
Yeah.
But it's a key plot point. That's the hard thing. This is going to be one where what you said is like, if cussing in movies is your kryptonite, you have to stay away from this one because there's just not, this isn't one you can watch on VidAngel later.
Not, it would be make the confusing list. This is set in the 1920s in England. It really happened. Two next door neighbors. One has gotten 19 of these horrible letters, and they finally have had enough, and they go to the cops and said, look, it's got to be our next door neighbor. She's this Irish crazy lady, and she cusses all day anyway, so it's got to be her. And so
makes sense.
Yeah.
The gendarmes are like, yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, I mean, it's all, you know, it's the writing's on the wall.
And she does cuss, too. Jesse Buckley does.
Yeah, but the funny thing is she goes, if I wanted to say something, I'd say it to your face. So immediately I thought, well, maybe it isn't her, because if she really is that, you know, abrupt.
Crass, yeah.
Yeah. So you're going, all right,
well,
what's
and Olivia
going on
Colman
here?
Is like a Christian, God-fearing woman. Like, she doesn't say a bad word about anybody. Even she won't even say a bad word about Jesse Buckley, even when she's on the verbal end of the abuse.
Right. She's trying to turn the other cheek. She's unmarried, lives with her parents. Timothy Spall plays her dad, and he's hysterical. He loses his mind, but he's very controlling. So there's a bunch of stuff going on here. And then there's a female police officer that says, wait a minute, I'm not so sure this is
Gladys Moss, and they call her female police officer Gladys Moss. They always add the female.
That's true. And she's actually looking at handwriting and stuff, which that was not a thing back then. It's like, let's look at the lettering. And, you know, her boss is like, what are you talking about? She did it. So there's a trial, there's a whole thing, and this actually happened. So I thought this was hilarious. As Jesse Buckley and Olivia Colman going at
Jesse
each other.
Jesse Buckley was nominated for an Academy Award a couple of years ago in...
First Daughter, was it?
No. It's the one about all the people on the Amish community, the girls in the Amish community.
Oh, women, something.
Women talking or something. Men,
yeah,
something like
women
that.
Women talking.
But yeah, so she's actually, if you didn't know that, she's already a really good actress.
Oh, I love her. She's hysterical.
And Olivia Colman, just great.
Yeah, she is.
And so for me, what did you give it?
I gave it a B.
And I actually gave it a B plus because I just loved it for what it was. If you have the high tolerance
Andrew.
For the... I know. But it made me laugh a lot, and it's technically a mystery, but it made me recall a very embarrassing but funny episode from my own life, which I'll have to tell you off.
Oh,
actually, I think I did tell you off. But anyway, once you've seen the movie, I can't really tell you the story without giving away some of the mystery of the movie. So, but I did enjoy it, but again, language, and there's just no way around it because it's central to the plot.
And the reason I didn't go higher was I thought they gave away too quickly who was really responsible for this.
Oh, okay.
That bugged me. I thought, no, come on, that's the whole thing. Leave it to the end. But no, they couldn't do it.
So that is Wicked Little Letters. I give it a B+.
Gave it a B.
Steve gives it a B. It is rated R, and that is playing, I think that's select theaters, or is
it in
a lot?
Actually, it's in pretty wide release.
Okay. So Wicked Little Letters. Now, let's talk about Monkey Man.
They took everything from me. The rich don't see us as people to them. We're animals.
If a man wishes to challenge the gods, he must become more than a man. He must become a beast.
A beast.
Oh, no.
Now, Steve, you weren't able to see this one, but no. Oscar winner Dev Patel, who co-wrote, directs, and stars in this movie called Monkey Man, originally supposed to premiere on Netflix, but then producer Jordan Peele. Actually, I was wondering if there was going to be some horror elements when I saw Jordan Peele's name attached. But anyway, he works his contacts in Hollywood, gets this a theatrical release, and it already made more in previews last night than the first Omen. So,
which always should be the case. Release it in theaters and then put it on streaming.
Put it on
streaming, people.
So anyway, Patel plays a guy in India who works these menial labor jobs by day, and then he gets beat up for money in these underground fights at night. And
so
he wears
he
a monkey
wearing
mask.
A monkey? Okay.
Yes, he wears a monkey mask when he gets beat up. I mean, you know, it's kind of pro wrestling-ish where people are betting on this, but he's going to lose every fight.
Well, especially if you have to wear a mask, how are you going to see a punch coming?
Well, you don't. It doesn't matter.
Oh.
In fact, he gets paid more if he bleeds through the mask. From the promoter guy. So, but at any rate, he's just kind of biding his time because he's got a real vengeance. And this is a vengeance movie, by the way. He's biding his time because, and then when he gets a chance to take vengeance on the people who attacked his village and killed his mom when he was a kid, he takes advantage of it. But here's the thing. This was a brutally violent action movie. Like, I don't use that word lightly. It is a brutally violent movie, and you have to have, I was talking about a high tolerance for language, you have to have a high tolerance for blood and you know, bone crunching in order to get through this one. There's not a lot of, like, there's very little to no gunfighting. It's all hand-to-hand, yes, smash, use whatever's at hand to disable the other person. I did like that it was, it kind of felt authentic to India and kind of shines a light on people who are overlooked, especially in India, and especially after seeing Origin, where you kind of know some of the caste system in India, that this kind of makes that even more meaningful. But I liked it. I gave it a C+, slightly better than average movie. But again, a caveat, it's really violent. I know we've actually already got a texter who said, I wanted to walk out of it when I finished it. I had a friend who came up to me after the screening who got tickets through a radio station to watch it. I didn't know he was that. He came up to me afterwards and he's like, I wanted to like this, but I just didn't.
Just too much.
And I was just like, I was neutral, positive neutral, but not much beyond that. But Dev Patel's great.
I love him. He's a great actor.
And he certainly sells the action part. Somebody said he should be James Bond next, and I was like, I could see that.
He, you know, he's actually off. he did a really violent movie not too long ago, so I think he kind of wants to be an action hero.
Well, and he won the Oscar. He was in Slumdog Millionaire, which won Best Picture, but then he won Best Supporting Actor 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, for something, The Lion?
For Lion, yes, in 2016. So he's got acting chops, but he was kind of in those unique drama kind of a things. And this, Jordan Peele actually specifically said he got this, he saw him as something he could break out into something else, kind of like Jordan Peele jumped from comedy into another genre and now is a little bit more well-rounded. And that's what he saw in Dev Patel.
Okay.
And speaking of confusing movies, The Green Knight with Dev Patel, that's one of my most confusing movies I've ever seen until I learned what the story it was based on. But if you just watch The Green Knight,
you have no idea.
Yeah. So keep the text coming, 57500. What's the most confusing movie that you've ever seen?
10, 9.
The KSL Movie Show. Top 10.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The Movie Show Top 10. I don't think anybody will be surprised which one's sitting at the top of the list, but you may be surprised at what's still hanging on at number 10, Imaginary.
Yeah, it's done fairly well. I mean, again, horror films are, they're cash cows. They don't cost that much to make normally, and they usually make money.
Well, this one's doing okay for what it probably cost. Imaginary, not to be confused with Imaginary Friends, which we're going to talk about, a very family-friendly movie next month.
Yeah.
This one, thankfully, they're not getting released about the same time, because it seemed like for a while, when there's two movies of a similar type, they'd come out within a few weeks of each other, and then you'd just be confused forever.
Yeah, that's...
I thought it was okay. Did you see that one?
I didn't.
Okay. I thought it was okay, but I'm not a horror fan, so I'm not the...
This is the teddy bear, the cranky teddy bear.
Cranky teddy bear, yeah. Number 9, Crew.
Crew, number 8 and number 9 are both films from India.
Tilu Square. Yeah. Or is it Tilu Square? I don't even know how to pronounce it.
Well, one's a comedy and the other one is a comedy.
All right. So number 7, Late Night with the Devil. You didn't see that one either. How am I the only one who's seen all the horror movies in this top 10?
I'm a delicate flower. I don't know.
What has happened in the last 6 months?
That is true.
I will say this. Late Night with the Devil, very unique. And it didn't just rely on cheap grossness. It did have a couple of kind of gross portions.
Yeah.
But really, it just sort of tried to build up the dread. And then there's a massive explosion of stuff at the end that kind of happens all at the same time. And it's plenty creepy. Late Night with the Devil.
Yeah.
Number 6, Arthur the King.
I love this movie. I thought it was just as sweet as could be. Cute dog, Mark Wahlberg. I just really enjoyed this.
Don't call Mark Wahlberg a dog. Just kidding.
My girlfriend is a dog.
Ghostbusters. I actually liked Arthur the King a lot, and so did my kids. That's one that the whole family can really enjoy together. Yeah. And I just like Mark Wahlberg. There's not movies that I've seen him in that I don't like. He's a likable person.
Happening.
Oh, well, I haven't seen that one. So, number 5, Immaculate.
See, I have seen the movie.
Okay, there's one.
Yeah, this sounds a lot like...
This is the other nun horror movie.
Yeah, nuns aplenty this time of year. Sydney Sweeney is very good, but it's a very dark, dark movie. And has a weird ending.
Okay, and that's Immaculate. Number 4, Kung Fu Panda 4. How would we consider this? Is this a success? You think it's going to hang in the top 5 like Migration did for weeks and weeks?
Well, if I told you that it was going to make $350 million, what would you say?
That was probably low?
Oh, really?
I don't know. I thought the other ones were making up in the $400 to $500 million range.
Well, it's still $350. I mean,
but and it's the fourth movie in a series. My kids really enjoyed it. I liked it. I just like the other Kung Fu Panda movies more.
Yeah, this felt a little cash grabby.
Number three, my favorite movie of the year so far, Dune Part Two.
And apparently it's doing extremely well. $630 million worldwide. Yeah, it's a certifiable hit.
I think that the numbers are going to tail a little bit now because of our number one movie taking over all the IMAX screens. Because there's no question that the IMAX is what gives movies this boost towards the highest numbers.
Well, it certainly hurt our number two movie.
Yes. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
I mean, it went from like a lot to $15 million. Like, it lost 65% of its audience in 1 week.
That's not a good drop number. And I don't know a lot of people that were like, I can't wait to see Ghostbusters Frozen Empire again.
Yeah, it's only made 112.
All right. And now, we both liked it.
Yeah.
But
it just felt like there was too many people trying to do too many things.
I liked having the original Ghostbusters in it. Yeah, I thought they had more to do in this one than just a slight cameo at the end, but that came at the cost of having Carrie Coon be able to do more.
Yeah, I didn't think she did hardly anything.
That's
so.
What I'm saying. Yeah. All right, and then number one, Godzilla times Kong equals the new Empire.
Notice the first two movies are both Empire movies.
Oh, yeah.
New Empire, Frozen Empire.
And then the Empire State Building shook today in an earthquake. Do we know if Godzilla was involved?
I hope not. That would be weird.
Or Kong. I mean, Kong. By the way, something about Godzilla times Kong. There's a specific reason they haven't called him King Kong yet. Because he's not the king of anything yet.
Wow, that's...
But at the end of this movie...
Seems pretty thin.
He is a king, so we'll get to hear about him as King Kong in the future.
Well, it's made over $200 million in 1 week.
And it did really well overseas, too, because it only made it, I think, 80 to 90 million here in the States.
I've got, as of yesterday, 96 domestic, 115 foreign at 210 total.
Yeah. And Godzilla is the new pink.
Well, yeah, he is a rainbow coalition right there.
Yeah, I thought it was what it was, as far as I'm concerned. You're going to watch them fight, and that's the part that was done best in the movie. Everything else is secondary. Don't ask questions about how there's sky on the ground and the ceiling at the same time.
Or the backup arm that just happens to be nearby.
Yeah, I mean, don't ask those questions and just go enjoy some monsters punching each other.
Well, it's
and
an Americanized version of, you know, Godzilla.
Yeah, so that is the Movie Show Top 10, which is sponsored by Call Climate Services. From repair to replacement and installation, callclimate.com. A lot of texts coming in of the most confusing movie. We've had a couple votes for Constellation, but I don't know if that's a movie or a TV series.
It's a TV series.
Ah, must have been confusing, I guess.
It's a Nomi Rapace.
She's in a lot of confusing movies.
Yes, and that's a good one because the series was really good up until the end. You're like, wait, what? So, yeah.
Oh, that's the Apple TV one. It was just from a couple. Oh, okay. I know which one you're talking about. Here's a vote, and we've had a couple votes for Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, wow, that's a...
Blue Velvet. That's a Lynch movie, right?
Yes, it is.
Let's see. The first Tom Cruise Mission Impossible movie. I still don't know who the bad guy is.
Well, let me tell you. Wearing a mask.
Yeah. I saw Tenet 4 times and still didn't understand it.
That's sad.
And here's one for Napoleon Dynamite. Huh?
I've seen that on a couple lists. It's weird.
It's the KSL Movie Show.
They won't fear it until they understand it. And they won't understand it until they've used it.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
What are you doing here? Thinking about turning our house into a nuclear power plant?
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Here on the Movie Show, we're reading your texts of your... most confusing movie, and people have got opinions on this, and a lot of them are the same. A lot of them are Christopher Nolan movies.
Yeah, but what was the Napoleon Dynamite?
I don't know. That one kind of had me scratching my own head. Here's one, Interstellar. To this day, I have no idea.
Yeah, that's easy.
The Prestige.
Ooh.
Yet another Nolan movie.
Well, I wrote down Tommy Wiseau's The Room. You know, the worst movie ever made.
Didn't that? Oh,
it got
the
remade
room.
By
yes, that was remade by the Franco brothers.
Franco's, yeah.
Here's one. That one with the moving walls and stuff like that. I don't think it was Tenet, but it was so confusing. And Dune 2. Oh, That hurts me that you thought Dune 2 was confusing. I thought that was pretty straight up.
The original Dune.
Oh, the David Lynch Dune, yeah.
That's weird.
Inception and Tenet are wild ride movies and, yeah, hard to comprehend at times. Here's a vote. I'm actually kind of surprised this is the only one. Citizen Kane. I've heard that from a lot of people over the years. No. Rosebud. Let's see. The most surprise ending movie was The Sixth Sense. Now let's see. It's impossible to keep track of the plaid suitcases in What's Up, Doc. That one cracks me up because we watched What's Up, Doc about a year ago or two with the kids. And at one point, my son's like, I'm getting a headache trying to keep track of these plaid suitcases. So my son would agree with you. And multiple votes for Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Oh, that's a good one.
Last year's Best Picture winner.
Yeah.
All right, Steve. Well, we got a lot of streaming to talk about, so let's get right into it with our big streaming reviews. No, that's not the rejoin.
Planning a weekend on the couch? Streaming your favorite movie or a new show? Andy and Steve sort through it all so you only binge the best. It's the Movie Show Streaming Reviews on KSL News Radio.
All right, let's start off with Musica on Prime Video.
I think you can do anything. I think you could do that. But I also think that maybe there's a world where you put all of this creativity just towards a stable job or something more consistent with actual money.
Sorry, what?
So this is a movie from the former Vine and Instagram star Rudy Mancuso called Musica. And I say it specifically that way because it's music in Portuguese, música, with a little accent over the U. Yeah. Mancuso plays a young Brazilian guy living in New Jersey who's plagued by the musical rhythms he's constantly hearing in his head. He's also trying to balance all the women in his life, including his mother, who's a Brazilian immigrant, his rich white college girlfriend, and this enchanting Brazilian girl played by Camila Mendes that he meets at the local market.
Isabela. Yeah, so it's that movie where the Latino, he hears the street noises, and he does that about a dozen times in this movie, to the detriment of his relationships when he's completely scatterbrained about what's going on. He's actually a really accomplished musician. He wrote most of the songs and stuff that are in this.
One of his songs.
What?
Where he was upset. He said a curse word and they played it to music. That was kind of funny.
Yeah. But it's just so painfully obvious that the debutante girlfriend has no idea who he really is, and they don't have a connection, and yet he blows off Isabella like, dude, what are you doing?
Yes, he does.
It drove me crazy.
It was you had said that to me, and then that's when I was thinking about the girl in Someone Like You, puzzling choices and frustrating choices by the character as you're watching the movie of somebody you're supposed to be liking, and they do things that make you kind of dislike them at times.
Yeah, I mean, he was such a nerd about it. That one scene at the restaurant where he's going, that whole thing where they go back and forth.
But that's a rom-com trope that was pretty funny, and he's got the jazz pianist playing words at him.
No, that was funny. Yeah, he was looking, staring him down like, dude, you really want to do this?
It's like a running commentary. For me, I'm a sucker for Brazilian culture. I lived there for a couple of years. I love the mixture of Portuguese and English in this movie. I've watched enough foreign films in this job that get frustrating because I watched a Polish movie this week that we'll talk about in a couple of weeks. But if I wasn't paying 100% attention, or if my concentration like floated off for a second, it was, I got to rewind it because I can't even replay what I just heard in my head because I didn't understand it. So if I didn't read it, but with this one, they could switch into Portuguese.
That's
and
true.
Even if I wasn't paying, like I knew what they were saying. So that, again, that's unique to me. I just thought it was funny, heartfelt, but I agree. Rudy makes some dumb decisions in the movie.
Oh, I wanted to strangle the kid,
but I liked it. I give it a B minus.
Oh, well, I'm at a C+, so.
Okay, so we're not too far off. It is rated PG-13, and it's streaming again on Prime Video. Now let's talk about Girls State.
Girls State is like high school teenage girls who care about government.
Are you friends?
No. No, we'll become friends.
Yeah, obviously.
In 2040, I intend to run for president. So I think at Girls State, I'm going to run for governor.
Who's this?
Okay.
Now, this was a Sundance Film Festival selection. It's from the same filmmaker who made Boys State a few years ago.
Which I saw.
What would American democracy look like in the hands of teenage girls?
Yeah, and this had the unique ability that it was both boys' state and girls' state in Missouri this one year was in the same place, which is kind of
and it never had been before.
No, that's right. And I had seen boys' state, and I thought they were kind of catty, and I thought it was going to be similar to that. But this actually had a lot more meat to it. I thought the conversations about the Supreme Court, about, you know, right to privacy.
And this was taking place right before the Roe v. Wade was overturned.
Right.
So this was very much on the minds of all these, because these are high school girls, yeah. 16 to 18 years old, basically.
Yeah.
They spend a week basically pretending they're the governor of a state that they create. So they elect governor, they elect attorney general.
Supreme Court.
They have a Supreme Court that's not elected. They have to get selected by the previous year's president for the Supreme, but people go out for it and they have to get interviewed. So they run a government, because I thought my kids knew what this was. I knew what this was when I was in high school, but not everybody knows about it.
Well, then it got interesting to me because suddenly somebody brought up the fact that, well, the boys' state, they spend like three times more money doing their thing as opposed to the girls. And the girls over there singing these weird little camp songs, I thought it was kind of sexist. And they certainly...
They did too.
They were livid about it. And then it really got interesting to me. I thought, you go, girl. You stand up for yourself. And that's when I really started liking this movie.
I thought this was a great watch. The girls that they featured were very impressive. And honestly, it made me realize that most, if not all, the girls there probably had great attributes or stories that could be told. And they had to pick a few. And I thought the ones they picked were really well chosen. And I look forward to seeing these girls' names and places outside this documentary someday.
Well, let's hope
because
so.
Because they will. I mean, they're impressive.
The one who finally won governor, she was just a rah-rah. And you could tell that the style of their campaign speeches did everything.
Oh, those were really impressive. And you know, the one who lost... There were three that they focused on that were running for governor, and one who lost went on to, instead of just sulking, she's the one who starts investigating the differences and the disparity.
Yeah, and that's when I really started to like her, because I thought she was kind of, you know, just a wimpy, I'm just so popular, and then all of a sudden...
See, I never thought that about her as I was watching it.
Well, I just thought she was just sort of... I thought she was just going around trying to win the popularity contest. Then all of a sudden, she's actually into the journalism part of it, and that really impressed me.
And then the other two, one of them had the most astute observation of how the campaign speeches went. She's like, I don't think I'm going to win because this other girl did exactly the right thing you got to do in front of the crowd, and I know what the crowd is. They're probably going to vote for her, and they were right.
Yeah.
But they were just – I was really impressed. I mean, these girls did it all themselves. They didn't have – like, their parents weren't trying to help them. I just – it was really impressive, and I really think it's an excellent watch, and this is on Apple TV+.
Yeah, I gave this a B+.
And I gave it an A-. This is actually probably my pick of the week, honestly. This or Someone Like You, I liked them both a lot, but I like this overall even better.
Yeah, I agree.
So we've got more to come on The Movie Show with our streaming, as a lot of stuff was coming to streaming this week.
The Movie Show.
It's a fake laugh.
It's real. On KSL News Radio.
We've got a lot of streaming to get through, Steve, so let's keep going. How about Sugar from Apple TV Plus?
Another beautiful day in California. Out here, I'm one of the good guys. But good and bad can be in the eye of the beholder.
All right, this is a private investigator series show starring Colin Farrell, set in modern time, but it feels old-timey.
Yeah, the trumpet solos and the narration feels like right out of a Dashiell Hammett detective book. And he's such a sweetheart. That's what really kind of blew me away.
Yes.
Is he's
Colin Farrell plays against type.
Yes, and his whole mission is he's a guy that will find people, and whatever it takes, he will find them. But while he's taking this journey, he'll like stop and talk to a guy that's got a dog, you know, and he's homeless and trying to help him out. I thought that was really cool.
As I watched that part, this is really interesting because you realize that this method also really helps his work.
Yeah.
Because when people are treated with respect, they often return that respect and they help him out on his cases.
Right. And people are opening up to him where no one else would. And that's
because
how
he sees them.
So successful.
Yeah. And so I only got through the first two episodes, which is all that you can watch right now on Apple TV Plus. But this one has me, and I'm going to try to finish this one off.
Yeah, I've watched the first three because we have access to Apple TV screeners, and it's definitely one that I am enjoying very much.
That is called Sugar. It is TVMA, and it is on Apple TV Plus. Now, let's talk about Ripley.
May I ask you to describe Thomas Ripley?
He came to Italy, moved into Dickie's house. He just wouldn't go away.
You like art, Tom? You're in the right place.
You like art, Tom? Well, you're in the right place.
Yeah, so this is based on the same story that was told in the Academy Award-winning movie The Talented Mr. Ripley, but this one doesn't have Matt Damon. It has Andrew Scott.
Who is brilliant. And this is a series, and it's all in black and white, which makes it feel like an old Fellini movie. And it takes its time.
It helps because it's set in the 1950s. Honestly, I thought having it in black and white helped sell the 1950s me as the viewer.
Absolutely.
And it's not. It is a slow developing and kind of sleepy at times, at least the two episodes that I watched. There was times where it was like I was almost hypnotized by Andrew Scott.
Yeah.
But he's a grifter.
He is. He's a con man, and but he's kind of a low-level one. He's only asking for like $50 from people, and he just stays under the radar until he gets this opportunity to go to Europe and try to find this guy.
This rich kid.
Yeah.
Whose dad wants him to come home.
And I guess they had met at some point, you know, but so he goes like, go find him when I can be him?
Yeah, and nobody knows that he's going to do that, of course.
And Dakota Fanning is in this, plays the girlfriend of the guy in Europe. I'm on episode three on four now, and it is,
Yeah, so I got through two. I'd be willing to see it through if I ever get the time, but I don't know if I'll ever make the time for it like I will for Sugar.
I will definitely see the rest of this. I love Andrew Scott, and it's just such a great little, you know, series.
And this is Ripley on Netflix. Now, another one on Apple TV Plus. We can quickly go through this one. Loot, season two.
Yes.
We, ridiculously wealthy people, are the problem. Starting today, I'm going to give away all my money, all $120 billion.
So Maya Rudolph is the ex-wife of a tech billionaire who's played by Adam Scott. In season one, it was her splitting from what's his name in it? I have it written. Oh, John Novak is the tech billionaire. She's splitting from him and trying to find her own way, and she starts to become hands-on at her philanthropy foundation. Now, I saw all of season one, but I did not get a chance to watch any of season two. So,
well, it picks up right where they left off, although the ex-husband is now trying to woo her back into his life. She goes, I just need space. So he buys this space industry thing. It's ridiculous. But now,
the first season, there was a whole thing going on with Nat Faxon where there was some kind of chemistry between them.
That's kind of set aside a little bit here in the first couple, three episodes. But in this situation, she's in L.A. She wants to help the homeless, and she's running into some snags with the Los Angeles City Council. But she's coming up with some clever ways to get around them. And there's still funny bits. They do a whole episode about Taylor Swift, about who's actually a Swiftie and who isn't. That's pretty funny, and it's cute. It's funny.
I think it's got some funny pop culture comments, but what makes it good are the characters, because Maya Rudolph plays Molly Wells. Adam Scott, who's really funny, is the ex-husband. But then I also like Joakim Boster, who plays her. He acts like everything is such a chore, her assistant.
Oh, yeah. I love
his friendship with Ron Funchess, the black guy who works at the foundation. I love Ron Funchess. Like, he's the one who talks. He
almost steals
this
season. He's really good.
And I love him. So I watch this for the characters. Nat Faxon's really good. So,
and they're quick. There's 30-minute episodes.
Yeah, and that is Loot on Apple TV+. And then finally, the last one for this segment is season 5 of Star Trek Discovery.
It has been a hell of a journey, but everything ends someday.
The Discovery is my home.
Being a part of a crew, being where you need to be, when you need to be, that's Starfleet.
Last dance.
I shall follow your lead.
So this is the fifth and final season. Who you heard was Captain Burnham and several of her crew on the USS Discovery. In this season, they uncover a mystery that sends them on an epic adventure across the galaxy to find an ancient power whose existence has been hidden for almost 1,000 years that they've jumped from the past into the future. But there's other people who are hunting the same thing and who will stop at nothing to get it.
Yeah, I didn't see the first four seasons, but I like this. I was able to get right in there and understand the characters and sort of get a feel for who was what. And I thought it was really nicely paced, pretty exciting. And I liked the advancement in the technology. I thought that was cool, too.
Yeah, this is the Trek series that's set 1,000 years after most of where the Trek series have happened in continuity over the last 60 years. And I like that, too. It allows them to kind of they're not constrained by what's come before to try to keep the technology in that same sort of quadrant. Like in Brave New Worlds, they have to keep it consistent with the original
Strange
Star Trek.
World.
Strange New Worlds, sorry, you're right. But for me, Star Trek Discovery, I've enjoyed it so far. I skipped most of Season 4, but Season 5, the first two episodes I did watch,
yeah.
And was starting to get hooked back in again. And that is on Paramount Plus.
The KSL Movie Show. Telephone Torture.
We've tweaked things up just a little bit, so 801-575-TALK, 801-575-8255 is the number. But we don't want you to call till you think you know the answer to the movie. We're just going to read the clues off, and you can start texting us at 57500 or calling us at 801-575-8255. We're going to give three callers a chance to win, and if we don't get a correct answer on the phones, then we will take the first correct answer on the text line.
So what's your theme this week?
The theme this week is in honor of the eclipse coming up this weekend,
yeah.
A movie with moon in the title.
Oh, actually in the title.
In the title of the movie.
Okay.
And there are a lot of those, by the way.
Yes.
So here is the first clue. Again, don't call 801-575-8255 until you think you know the answer, because you'll waste a chance for somebody else who might have known the answer, and you don't want to be that person.
Yeah.
To win a great prize from our friends at Megaplex Theaters. By the way, what's the prize, Steve?
It's two drinks, two tickets, and a tub of popcorn.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff to see. So, first clue, Francis Ford Coppola's nephew auditioned for the lead role in this movie, but his screen test wasn't good, so the studio didn't want to cast him. But the female star of the movie insisted that this guy was the right man for the part and threatened to quit if he wasn't cast, and the studio relented.
Okay.
That is clue number one. Again, a movie with moon in the title. Do we have any callers already? Okay, so nobody knows. Oh, we do have a caller. All right, you want to take a shot at this?
Is this Mike?
Mike, you want to take a shot?
Yes, the
All
only
right.
movie I can think with moon in the title is Moonstruck.
Is that correct, Corey?
Promised victory.
That is correct. Congratulations. I didn't think you'd get it that quick. I thought there was more moon titles that people would guess.
Dude, Francis Ford Coppola's nephew? Come on.
What the, not everybody knows that Nicolas Cage was Nicolas Coppola.
All right.
That's what I thought would be the one that threw it off. I didn't mention Cher. I didn't mention
didn't
anything
have to.
Else.
She threw a fit, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, congratulations. You've won.
Nice.
Is there a movie at Megaplex you want to see? Hello?
King Arthur, the dog movie.
Arthur the King. That's an excellent choice.
Super good choice.
And the popcorn will be delicious. And, of course, they got the Coke Freestyle machines with like 10,000 different drink combinations. So congratulations. You're the winner. You are now making everyone else tortured because you got it right away. So congratulations.
That was the fastest telephone torture ever.
Yeah,
awesome.
Torture for me doing all the work to come up with more clues than that. But congratulations, we're glad.
What were your other clues?
Well, okay, so clue number two is John Mahoney later revealed that his role in the film got him widespread attention, which helped him get cast in Frasier.
Yeah.
And then the final clue is this movie earned 6 Academy Award nominations in all the big categories with wins for Best Actress Cher and Best Supporting Actress Olympia Dukakis.
Snap out of it.
Yes. And so the answer, of course, was 1987's Moonstruck. And congratulations to
Mike,
I believe. So sorry to all of you who are probably already texting in Moonstruck. Oh, here's a guess of Honeymoon in Vegas. I don't. Oh, because it had Moon in it. And it had Nick Cage. I should have thought of that. Honestly, I'm going to find out if our Honeymoon in Vegas guesser can get a prize.
Look at you.
I'm going to find out if we do. I can't promise you one whose phone number ends in 7640. I can't promise you that we'll get you a prize. But if we can, I'm going to try to get you one because that is a Nick Cage movie that does have Moon in the title. And I
yeah, but she didn't throw a fit about him not being in it. So
maybe Sarah Jessica Parker did.
It was Elizabeth.
No, it wasn't. Honeymoon in Vegas?
Yeah.
With the Flying Elvi and James Caan?
Oh, I'm thinking of Leaving Las Vegas.
You're thinking of Leaving Las Vegas. Oh, man. Yeah, but that doesn't have Moon in the title.
I know.
Oh, okay. Elizabeth Shue is who you're thinking yes. of for Leaving Las Vegas. All right. Well, congratulations. That leaves us with some time to get some more guesses on some more texts from people on confusing movies, Steve. Butterfly Effect.
Ooh, yeah.
With Ashton Kutcher. Ashton, yeah. La La Land.
Oh.
A vote for La La Land. Here's a vote for Highlander Endgame, which is probably from Stone, because I don't even know what Highlander.
He'd admit it, but he says no.
One vote for Ballad of the Sad Cafe, which I've never heard of, so I can't tell you. So that plenty confusing. And, Steve, we actually have a couple more minutes before we end the segment since they answered it so quick. So let's tell people about a couple of other things that is coming up. We've got a movie called How to Date Billy Walsh that's on Prime Video that I did watch yesterday. And so it'd be nice to give it a quick mention. It's a movie out of England. It's a rom-com out of England. Archie has been in love with his best friend Amelia for as long as he can remember. And just when he finally builds up the courage to tell her his feelings, she falls head over heels for an American transfer student named Billy Walsh, who's played by Tanner Buchanan of Cobra Kai.
Okay.
And look, there's not much new in this movie. It's kind of like it both follows and pokes fun at the teen rom-com tropes at the same time. And it had some funny moments. The two main leads, I wasn't a big fan of them at the beginning, but they kind of grew on me over the movie as it went along. And, you know, it's got a lot of gross jokes and a lot of, you know, grown-up language for a couple of teenagers who are still in high school. But it's kind of charming, and it's on Prime Video. It is rated R. I gave it a C. So easy enough to find. And then you saw – no, we didn't see Scoop.
Actually, it's on my list, though. I definitely want to see this. This is a Netflix movie, a feature film with Gillian Anderson playing a reporter – who lands a exclusive interview with Prince Andrew right before he decided to...
Before he went off the deep end and everybody found out that he was not what we thought.
Yeah, a lot of Epstein in this, and I'm looking forward to it because...
But it's not a documentary. See, I thought it was a documentary when I was looking at it.
No, it's a Gillian Anderson grilling him big time, and it should be interesting. So it's called Scoop on Netflix.
Okay. And when we return, we will have Rapid Fire on the movie show where we'll quickly go over everything that we've talked about today.
And it was Andy's seen.
A lot.
Movie reviews and Hollywood news. The KSL Movie Show.
Steve, last bit of text coming in. Your most confusing movie ever that you watched. Actually, it's hard to sort through all the people who are guessing Moon titles from... let's see here. Butterfly Effect, I think we mentioned that one.
Yeah.
Here's Marathon Man, but it says we missed the first 5 minutes, so maybe that's why Marathon Man was so confusing. Another vote for Pan's Labyrinth. And Tommy, is it the Who's Tommy? Was that a confusing one?
That could be what they're thinking of. That's the only Tommy movie I know of.
So for me, I admit that for me, The Matrix, halfway through The Matrix, I was like flummoxed as to what was going on. In a good way. Well, at the moment, it wasn't in a good way. I was like, I don't know what's happening in this movie. Why is he in pink goo? I don't know what's going on. And then by the end of the movie, once I kind of understood what was going on in the movie, then I was like really impressed with how confused they had left me. just like the character Neo was. Like, I was just as confused as Neo was.
Well, I think there's a 5 coming up. They
just announced that this week that they are in the process of getting
Matrix
5. But
they kind of do that every few months. You know, no, hang on.
And Lana Wachowski is on as attached to produce, not going to direct.
Oh.
But they're going to be involved because it was the Wachowskis that created it in the first place. So
yeah.
That's still one of my favorite movies. I rewatched the original Matrix just a couple weeks ago with somebody who'd never seen it. It was just an enjoyable
experience.
Did they
have a million questions?
No, but I told them, I said, there's going to be a part in this movie where you're going to be like, you're going to be completely bamboozled, but just keep going.
Just hang on.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's do rapid fire now, Steve. I'm going to get another sound effect because I want a Star Wars one. I'm going to see if I can find that. But rapid fire is where we recap everything we talked about on the movie show today in case you missed part of the show. We'd also like to remind you of a couple of things on the web. First of all, if you want to listen to the movie show because you missed part of it, you want to hear our discussion on the movies, you can go to kslnewsradio.com. You can go to kslplus.com on the app. You can go to kslpodcast.com. Those are the best places. Or you can go anywhere you get your podcasts and search KSL Movie Show, and you can listen to past episodes and see what we thought. But another thing, too, is if you go to kslnewsradio.com, you can read Steve's reviews.
Yeah, I usually put a couple in there each week and just give you a little bit more detail that maybe we couldn't cover during the 2 hours.
You can see why Steve was such a talented writer for the Ogden Standard Examiner for those years.
I definitely miss it. That was 17 years of a complete joy.
All right. Well, so this week, Steve, you didn't get to see all the movies, but we saw all of them between the two of us. We saw everything we're going to talk about. Someone Like You, this was a movie that it's got some faith-based elements, but it's more of kind of a romance, a unique take on things. A girl finds out that she is basically the genetic twin of another girl who she never even knew existed because it was an IVF batch that the two embryos were – one was implanted in the mother, and the other was – the mother couldn't use the other one because her body wasn't going to be able to handle it. So they were able to donate it to someone else who then raised the girl. And
so there's not a cheese factor here.
I mean, a little bit, but it's cheesy in like the rom-com kind of way, but all the stuff – with like the family stuff was treated very sincerely, and I really liked it. I actually gave it a B-, which doesn't sound like a good grade when everything has to be an A nowadays. But that means it was better than average, and really close to what I would call a good movie. Let's see. We also have The First Omen, which I also saw. And I'm not a horror person, but there were some things that I thought this did pretty well. The First Omen is rated R. I gave it a C+. The lead actress was good. There's a lot of dread, and there's a lot of scary and gory that you're going to have to deal with, and devilish stuff. That, for me, is usually a big turnoff, so you'll have to be willing to put up with that for The First Omen. But it really sets the table for The Omen, 1976's movie.
Yeah, and I understand a couple of people that are into this kind of stuff, they loved it. They thought it was an incredible film. That the young actress gave her all throughout this movie. That
she
The budget was on the screen, $30 million.
They did a good job of emulating the 1970s, and that's not easy to do.
No, it's very expensive to do.
Yeah, but that is The First Omen. I gave it a C+, but remember, from somebody who doesn't like horror movies,
that's an A.
Above a C is a really high grade. We also have Wicked Little Letters.
Yes, Jessie Buckley is quickly becoming one of my favorite British actresses, and Olivia Colman, she's always delivered. Based on a true story, next door neighbors, one is getting just horrible letters, and the other neighbor just happens to be a foul-mouthed Irish,
single mom.
Yeah, and so it's obviously.
And remember, 1920s England, single moms weren't generally smiled upon.
Right. Yeah. No, she's definitely frowned on, and it's just a cute. Based on a true story, this is actually a funny movie, but if language offends you, forget it.
Yes. And again, if the language doesn't bother you, it was a B+ for me.
Yeah, and it's British language, so, come on.
So British plus. Just kidding. Yeah. You gave it a B?
Yeah, B.
Okay. We have Monkey Man, Dev Patel, an R-rated revenge violence thriller that the violence was brutal, and I mean brutal. So you'll have to have a high tolerance for blood and violence, but kind of cool action. Dev Patel really sells it well, and it shows you why he's such a talented actor. I gave that one a C+ also, and it's rated R. Then we have Musica on Prime Video.
Yeah, cute little, Brazilian kid. Has a stupid girlfriend and then a real one who should go with.
I don't harsh on too much on his college girlfriend. Well, she just is oblivious. She doesn't really get him, and she never will because of the world she's from and the world he's from.
Yeah, but the way they wrote her, she was obviously, written so that, you immediately know this is not going to
In a love triangle, you have to write out one of the corners of the triangle, or you have to introduce someone to make it a square. And since they didn't make it a square, they were going to have to get rid of one.
It's pretty obvious that she had to go.
But I loved it because of the Brazilian part of
it. Well, I did too. I'm Portuguese. Come on.
Well, I know. I'm just saying. I loved it. So I gave it a B. That was Musica on Prime Video. Girls State, which is probably my pick of the week on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, I love this movie, and it really has layers to it. I thought it was just going to be a one little flat little, the girls getting together and they're going to pretend like they're, politicals. But there's much more to this film, and I really enjoyed this. This is probably my pick of the week as well.
It is a great watch, and the girls were very impressive. And honestly, if my daughters turn out to be like these girls, I'd be super happy.
And this is Apple TV Plus?
Apple TV Plus, Girl State. It was at Sundance also. Yeah. We have Ripley on Netflix, Black and White, Andrew Scott. That's the reason you'll want to watch this.
Dakota Fanning, Steven Zillion is the director. And this just feels like such great acting, and it does come at you just kind of slowly. That might be the drawback, but it's in black and white, and it's so gorgeous.
But it's on Netflix, so again, you can watch it as you have time, and because it's episodic,
that's true.
It does have breaks to where if you had to drop it for a day or two to come back, it's not like you're hitting pause in the middle of a movie.
And I forgot that it was based on Talented Mr. Ripley, which then I started seeing the story come back to life. Even though they did that in a movie, this is a series. I just love what they're doing with this so far.
That is Ripley on Netflix. We've got Sugar on Apple TV Plus, which I really enjoyed. Colin Farrell as a private detective in modern-day Los Angeles, searching for a missing film director's granddaughter. But he's not Colin Farrell. I mean, he looks like Colin Farrell, but he's nice, and he sees all the people, and that really helps him in his investigation.
He is so kind, and you'd think there's no detective ever it's going to be like that.
That's true.
But he is just a sweetheart, and I thought, I'm really enjoying this.
We've got Loot Season 2 on Apple TV Plus with Maya Rudolph, a comedy series, half-hour episodes. I enjoyed Season 1, but I haven't watched Season 2 yet.
I've watched half of Season 2, and it's just as cute as the first one.
Star Trek Discovery on Paramount Plus. I've watched the first 3 seasons and a couple episodes of Season 4, and then I've watched the 2 episodes of Season 5 that premiered yesterday. It's kind of got me back. Look, if you already don't like Star Trek Discovery, I don't know if this will bring you back this season, but if you already like Star Trek Discovery, it continues to be solid.
And I didn't watch the first 4 seasons, but I did watch this one, and I'm hooked again.
And then there was a movie called How to Date Billy Walsh on Prime Video that I watched. I gave it a C. It's a teen rom-com from Britain with an American. Again, love triangle. You're going to have to break the triangle or introduce a square. But boy, Steve, that's a lot of stuff. And we got even more next week. April is full of stuff to watch.
Really? More next week?
Oh, there's so many things. But we'll catch you next week on The Movie Show. Thanks for being with us.